You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Good morning and welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast. Real quick, before we dive into the show, I just want to take the time to say thank you to Broncos country. Today's an epic episode of the show because this is episode number 400 in the career and the lifespan of the Locked On Broncos podcast. This is so monumental. We couldn't have gotten here without all the love and support from Broncos country that tunes in every single day, that shares the show on Twitter, that retweets it, that talks about it, that engages in the discussion and shares it on social media sites to their friends and family who are Broncos fans. Thank you for making the Locked On Broncos podcast the best Broncos podcast across the globe. Today's episode is massive, not because it's episode 400, but because we have a lot in store for you today. I am your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos and the rest of the National Football League. I'm also a columnist over there at the fan-sided networks, predominantlyorange.com. I work with a great group of staff writers that produce daily, amazing, awesome, depthful content without clickbait headlines, without all the other smoke. We give it to you straight because that's how it's supposed to be, to engage in the discussion. Today's episode of the show, segment number one, we're going to jump into our Broncos daily rundown. We're also going to be moving the chains as we hear from members of Broncos country regarding many different questions related to free agency, the later rounds of the draft, because users utilize our text and call-in line at 970-541-2966. I want to remind you guys before we get into the show, if you're going to be listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, when you get in your car in the morning, just tell your smart assistant to play Locked On Broncos podcast, because there is no reason for you to be driving, looking down at your phone to browse for an episode. Tell your smart device, play podcast Locked On Broncos, get to work safely. And I want to thank you guys for tuning in yet again. Let's dive right into it. We're going to take to our call-in line at 970-541-2966, where we heard from a couple of Broncos fans asking a lot of questions about the draft and the first round. What about the later rounds, free agency, and an overview of team needs? Now we're going to start with my man, Eric Blackman. Eric utilized the text line and said, "A lot has been said about what position we should draft in the first round, but what about the later rounds of the draft? I know it'll depend on the free agent acquisitions, but I would like an overview of needs we can fill in the later rounds, which players and in which rounds." Now, Eric, man, I tell you what, the Draft Network is going to be launching a very, very exciting feature here towards the end of the month where you can actually create your own big board up to 300 players. We're going to be utilizing that as well. So we'll have a little bit of a more in-depthful answer for you in terms of which players and which rounds. But, you know, I think tight end is definitely a need. I don't know necessarily if the Broncos, I think it depends on free agency. I wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos address tight end and maybe get a playmaking piece. You know, we talked about it in yesterday's episode. There's potential for Charles Clay. There's potential for Jared Cook. Do you want to go youth? Do you want to go a guy who can maybe give you 1 or 2 years and maybe Jake Butt can get healthier, or Jeff Heirman? I mean, that's the biggest question mark for the Broncos at this point. But a guy I really like is TJ Hockenson. He's definitely a guy that's on the radars of many draft boards as a late second round guy, even a potential first round talent from some boards that I've seen. He's an athletic, versatile guy. You can utilize him as a wing. You see a lot of different types of offenses. He was used as a wing. He was used as a fullback. He lined up out there at tight end. They split him out. He could do a lot of different things. He's a little bit versatile. But more so, the positions that the Broncos have to address in the draft, regardless, I still think they need to add cornerback depth. If they don't do that with the first round pick, I think it was Mike Kliss that had Greedy Williams. I think he had Mel Kiper Jr. Also, he had Greedy Williams going to the Broncos. So, you know, I think it's up in the air there. The Broncos do have to address cornerback. I think you have some good options in this draft. You know, I think overall the Broncos have to do a lot of research on the offensive line, maybe getting some young talent in that can come in. Obviously, you have Sam Jones, that was a young talent. He's already on the Broncos. He can develop and get some good reps this spring, especially if Ron Leary's going to be out and can't pass his physical. Same thing with Max Garcia. He could even get some center work there as Matt Paradis is still looking to lock up his future with the Denver Broncos. But yeah, I think you got to look at offensive line. We talk about inside outside linebacker. This is a type of draft, too. I think you can add some depth on the defensive line overall. We talk about franchise tag, which that period actually started today, where teams can now franchise tag or transition tag players. We'll have you covered as soon as news is available. Who the Broncos decide to do that, and we'll talk about that here a little bit on in today's show. So yeah, Eric, great question. You know, I think a lot of it is going to depend on free agency. We're just about a couple of weeks away from that actually kicking off. A lot of moves already being made. You know, the Broncos and Joe Flacco, that move becomes official on March 13th, the new league year. The Broncos are going to be very, very active in free agency. Let's go to our next texter here on the Locked On Broncos call line, our good friend, Patrick Keyote. He says, since we'll be trading for Flacco, a couple of questions. One, where do you think Keenum will end up? Is he more likely to be traded, or do you think the team will bite the bullet and release him? Now, Patrick, for the Broncos, if they were to just bite the bullet and release him, it would count against more money against the cap than they would like to. The advantage here for the Broncos, they will probably offset him in a trade. They can get some good quality back for him. And if a team picks him up and picks his salary up, the Broncos are off the hook in terms of his salary and how it counts against the cap, or if any remains, it's not going to be much where it can impact the Broncos from making any other financial decisions. But yeah, Case Keenum, his time with the Denver Broncos, a one-year wonder. The journeyman continues for him. It would be surprising. He could end up back in Minnesota. There was some talk on there at Pro Football Talk about the possibility of that happen. And then two, he asked, does this directly affect them from taking a quarterback at pick number 10? Thanks so much. Appreciate you guys. Patrick, as always, thank you for engaging in our discussions, whether it's here on Twitter, whether it's here on our call-in line, 970-541-2966. So Patrick, to answer your second question, a lot of people I'm talking to inside the organization, they're not giving much away in terms of the Broncos draft plans. I think this is going to be a very tight-lipped deal. There's obviously a lot of smoke and mirrors at this point with Drew Lock. He's definitely got some interest for the Broncos. Them acquiring Joe Flacco, in my opinion, doesn't take away from the fact that I think they go quarterback, because if they're going to be trading Case Keenum, which is what I'm being told is more than likely going to happen, they're not going to keep Kevin Hogan on the roster to back up Joe Flacco. They're going to more than likely get a young guy. It could be Drew Lock. The Broncos could trade up there. There's been some talk of that, but they could trade up. They could get a guy like Drew Lock or another quarterback in this draft to sit behind Joe Flacco for maybe one or two seasons, or maybe just one season, depending on how things play out. And that guy is the guy going forward for them. So I think that might be the wise move for the Broncos to do. They have to do a good job this, and they have to be right, because the last time the Broncos made a pick in the NFL draft regarding a quarterback didn't work out for them. Paxton Lynch ended up being one of the biggest bust in the National Football League in terms of the Denver Broncos franchise. It was a risky move trading back into the first round to pick him up. You thought the intangibles were there, something to be liking of him. Then when he was down there at Memphis, he put on some good tape. He competed really well in some stints, but it just couldn't translate to the NFL game. Paxton Lynch's work ethic just wasn't good enough to be successful in Denver for the Broncos. And that was a big thing on why they decided to part ways with him. They got to get it right on this time. You can't keep playing quarterback carousel every single year and missing out on young guys. You got to find a young guy that you are absolutely confident that in maybe 2 years can take over the franchise and be the guy for the next 10 to 15 years following that, to have a long and lengthy career competing in the AFC West, because the Chiefs have their quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years. You got to find a guy that can do that. And the Chargers, Philip Rivers, may only have a year or a couple years left. You got to take advantage of it while the getting's going. And then the Oakland Raiders could be a team that comes in and drafts a quarterback as well. They could move up out of nowhere and take a guy like Dwayne Haskins, or they could take a Drew Lock. They could take a Daniel Jones type guy. They could sneak up in this draft. I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders in this draft sneak up and try to get a quarterback. You heard it here first. That's going to be the interesting thing that I'm keeping an eye on, because the division is all predicated off of pass rushers, which the Broncos have plenty, but they also have to have very good quarterback play. And if you don't have that, it's going to be a long, long road to be successful in the National Football League. The Broncos have to find a way to compete from not only just from now, but from now on in 2019, 2020, 2021, so on and so forth. You have to strike the iron while the iron's hot. Is this quarterback draft class the best? I'm not completely sold on that. Does this quarterback class have some guys that have some good intangibles? Drew Lock, absolutely. Dwayne Haskins, a guy that's not being talked about enough. Kyler Murray's another guy. There is some talk maybe that the Raiders could try to draft Kyler Murray. John Gruden's very, enamored with his dynamic playmaking ability. That could be something that we see. Or even Daniel Jones out of Duke. I think the Broncos just have to be smart on this one. They have to do their time. They have to take, do enough research, do enough homework on every single prospect in the quarterback quarterback position and say, look, are we confident with this guy? Is this guy coming in right now better than what we did when we drafted Paxton Lynch? If the Broncos can say, yes, he is, then you can take that chance. I like Drew Lock's arm talent. He still has to improve on his footwork. He still has to improve on his accuracy. He still has to improve on his touches. And I'm not talking about just the reps. I'm talking about his touch on the ball and the short intermediate routes. He's got to find a way to put a finishing touch on some of those passes without leading receivers. The Broncos had a quarterback last year that led too many receivers. It didn't bode well in their fever. So coming up here in segment number two, we're going to go through our daily Broncos rundown, talking about some Broncos news with my co-host Cameron Parker. And we're going to analyze a little bit more on the inside of the NFL and what the Broncos had to do during the franchise tag transition tag period. Who should they tag? Who shouldn't they tag? And analyzing the difference between the two, because that can be a very confusing thing. So Broncos country, we hope we can clear that up for you. But before we get into segment number two, got to remind you guys to check out Locked On NFL Net on Twitter. It is your one-stop shop for every single Locked On NFL host covering their respective team on one single feed today. That's on Twitter at Locked On NFL Net. Getting into our daily Broncos rundown here, the news today. Obviously, want to give Pat Bowlen a belated happy birthday. Yesterday was his birthday, turning 75 years old. The Broncos owner will be going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame this August. Nobody more deserving than him. Champ Bailey going in alongside of him. So very, very happy birthday to Broncos owner Pat Bowlen. I know Broncos fans miss seeing him around. I know Broncos players miss seeing him around. And, you know, just constant well wishes towards his health and towards his family that are dealing with the effects of Alzheimer's. Definitely something that is very, very true. It's a big, big issue. And unfortunately, the Broncos owner has to deal with that every single day alongside his wife. So hats off to Pat Bowlen's family for all the efforts that they do in the community. But we got to get into our daily Broncos rundown here. Happy birthday, Mr. B. So in our Broncos daily rundown, down here, Joe Flacco has passed his physical. Now, this was a weird exception to the rule. A lot of times when we found out of the Joe Flacco trade, usually trades pend until a player can come in and do a physical. You know, I'd say a lot of the times these players can't comment on their situation. Joe Flacco can't comment on the trade publicly right now due to advisement and obviously collective bargaining agreement rules. But it was allowed to go to the Broncos facility and take a physical. That's why he was seen in the Denver airport, just a regular guy, old Joe. There were pictures on Twitter of that. But Joe Flacco passed his physical. So on March 13th, the trade becomes official. And the interesting news here, Albert Breer first reported this, though. The Washington Redskins were also in play for Joe Flacco. They had a lot of interest in acquiring him. Obviously, they're dealing with their own quarterback situation. Alex Smith out the whole entire 2019 season. Just that freak leg injury that we saw. And he was fighting infection, another, you know, multiple surgeries to deal with that infection, so on and so forth. The Redskins are without a quarterback. Because they missed out on Joe Flacco, I wouldn't be surprised if the Redskins tried to trade up and get a quarterback in this year's NFL draft. There are some free agent options, Teddy Bridgewater being one of them, for example. The options out there are endless, but they tried to make a play at Joe Flacco, but Joe Flacco is going to be wearing number 5 in Denver. Now, Cam, we've had a week to almost let this marinate. I like the move for the Broncos because short-term, it's the best decision for them overall. Long-term, you know, if they are successful, if Joe Flacco can come in and be successful and lead drives. And the biggest thing is when the Broncos are in the red zone, can they score? Can they come away with points? That's something Joe Flacco is good at. They weren't good at that last year with Case Keenum. This move is a great move. What are your thoughts after letting it marinate for about a week on the Joe Flacco trade? I like it. I think it's good for the team. In the short term, you got to get a young guy to play behind him.
I think initially, when you look at everything that had transpired, everything that was on the table between the Washington Redskins being so aggressive for a quarterback per se and a guy like a Joe Flacco, that tells you once again. So for all the naysayers of John Elway was not the only one that wanted Joe Flacco. And again, the market per se of the free agent class may not be the best in the world. I mean, if you go back and you look at all the players that are in this 2019 free agent draft class, quarterback might be the weakest position. And therein lies why, if you look at the quarterback position, there will be a huge line of suitors for Teddy Bridgewater, which is one massive bidding war. I'm sure John Elway can attest to that and experience with you know, Brock Osweiler and so on and so forth, and especially with Peyton Manning and bidding war, he does not like bidding wars. And so him coming to maybe a trading bidding war, should I say, of going out and getting Joe Flacco was a shrewd move. I mean, it was a big move. And I think there's a few things that it does trigger for me, and it's that Elway's continued model of success to continue down this road of winning now. And so I think that for John Elway, the fact that he's now been able to continue this motion and even have it trickle down from the head coaching staff back when he hired Vic Fangio and bringing on Mike Munchak. You know, again, it was one thing to bring in Vic Fangio, who was a first-year head coach, but it's another thing to bring in Mike Munchak, which is a huge power play move. So, and then you factor in just the Joe Flacco experience. John Elway now is the first executive that I can recall that he has brought in two Super Bowl winning quarterbacks to his franchise, either via free agency or via trade. There is not a lot of teams that can actually say that. Who knows if it'll reap the benefits and be successful, but I guarantee you the Denver Broncos are a much better football team now that Joe Flacco is under center. Why? He can challenge, as Benjamin Albright said in a tweet, he can challenge every blade of grass. He might actually have the same stats per se as Case Keenum in the long run, but if you look at the grand scheme of things, he didn't have the best supporting cast in Baltimore. Their last 1,000-yard receiver was in 2016. I mean, the supporting cast with Baltimore just was unfortunately just not there. And I think that with Joe Flacco, and yes, he's had the injury bug and the age decline, but he still managed to put forth a pretty successful handful of weeks with Baltimore before they went off and went to Lamar Jackson. You don't draft a first-round quarterback to let him sit on the bench for quite a while, and it was only a matter of time before they wanted to start Lamar Jackson. So there, I think it was just the best of both worlds for both the Ravens and the Broncos.
Yeah, and it really was, and I think I want to see the narrative on social media, and where a lot of people are saying, well, he got benched for Lamar Jackson because he was playing so badly. Joe Flacco wasn't playing that badly to where Lamar Jackson was going to be called for. Think about it this way. Joe Flacco is playing pretty good football. Go back to that Sunday night football game against the Steelers. He lit them up. He was very successful against the Broncos. He made some great throws. His deep ball, the touch on his passes, that is more beneficial to the Broncos here. And Jeffrey Essery over there at Mile High Report put together a great thread showing a film session in an entire thread, bit by bit, about how much of an improvement Joe Flacco is than Case Keenum. It really is, and I don't think it's debatable. I mean, I there are people trying to debate that Case Keenum is better than Joe Flacco, and I'm sorry, that's just not the case. Pun intended. You know, that's the biggest thing with the Broncos here. Joe Flacco is a big pickup move for them right now, and you know, we have a fan that was talking about, you know, all I'm hearing about is win now, but you want to win now, and you want to win from now on, and the Broncos, they're doing that. Joe Flacco gives them the best opportunity to do that. He's experienced. He can step up into the pocket. And, you know, think about it this way. Lamar Jackson was in the playoffs. They were struggling big time. He was getting booed out of the arena by Ravens fans. They were chanting Flacco. And I tell you what, that you know, I've got nothing but great feedback from Ravens fans too, who are so sad that Joe Flacco was gone. He played a very big role in their history. So
the one thing for me too that I thought that this also signaled, Cody, and it goes back to everything that John Elway has created as far as a model and everything from free agency and into the draft. He made the move now. He didn't wait until free agency. So that's usually a sign that the Broncos wanted this position filled right away. They did it with Case Keenum. So if they were this aggressive to go and green trade in principle for Joe Flacco, then what's in essence in store for free agency? That's what I'm very excited to see, because this is that type of aggressive move that we've been trying to see for a quarterback.
And it's going to happen. It is. Broncos are going to be very aggressive. You're going to see a lot of moves. Could see some trades. That's going to be an interesting thing. Tell you, you know, keep your eyes peeled. We're going to have you covered with all the NFL free agency frenzy March 13th. We got you covered over here at Lockdown Broncos. We've got the scouting combine coming up here in about a week, and we're going to have you covered on all the prospects, the big name prospects that are competing, the 40 yard dash, other drills. This could impact a lot of where certain players may rise or fall in the NFL draft. We'll have you covered on a Lockdown Broncos podcast. All right, diving into our final segment here of tonight's show. It's simple. It's sweet. Today was the day that the franchise tag, the transition tag for the National Football League, kicks into effect. You're going to see teams all around the National Football League tag via transition tag or franchise tag some key players. Most notable last year was Le'Veon Bell being franchise tagged by the Steelers. He could get transition tagged this year. For the Broncos, though, they've had a history of using it on players they're trying to re-sign long-term, and they could use it on Matt Paradis, but I think, you know, it's worth noting that if the Broncos were to franchise tag Matt Paradis, he would be making offensive lineman money that tackles usually make, not centers, and so he'd be receiving a pretty large sum of money for one season. The best bet for the Broncos, reach a deal with Matt Paradis. That's the best thing. It's going to be more cost-friendly for the team, for the salary cap, and other things. I don't think the Broncos are going to use the franchise tag this year, to be honest with you. If anything, I can see them using the transition tag. Now, let me explain the difference between the transition tag and the franchise tag. The transition tag is a tag that can only be used once a year by each football team unless they elect to use the franchise tag instead. If the original club declines to match, the player signs with the other team and the original team is offered zero compensation as they would have been if a player had received the franchise tag. So the transition tag is a little more tricky, that if the team declines to pick up the offer, declines to match it, that another team puts on a player, then that player goes to the other team. We almost saw this with the Chicago Bears' Kyle Fuller. The Packers wanted to sign him, but the Chicago Bears decided to match. He stayed in Chicago. He was very, very close to becoming a Green Bay Packer. The only player, in my opinion, that I can see being transition tagged is Bradley Roby. If they're really hell-bent on keeping a corner and maybe generating, seeing what the market Bradley Roby will generate there, another team can decide that, and they can use that as a negotiating tool for the Broncos to either apply it or let Bradley Roby go to another franchise. That can be something I see happening. Other than that, I don't see the Broncos really using anything along the lines of the franchise tag. The only candidate I could think of, Cam, is Shelby Harris. But more than likely, I think they work out a deal to bring him back.
I mean, you sort of did that whole outline as far as who do we see as potential candidates for the tag. And you have to go through all of those things. I mean, you have to talk about, okay, who are these legitimate candidates that are tag worthy? And I mean, yes, on the surface, you know, Matt Paradis is probably the most logical candidate to be tagged. I mean, right, Cody? I mean, logically, I mean, because we don't want to see Matt Paradis at the open market. So, I mean, we want to see him come to a long-term deal. But just when you think about it, you think about the pay that's going to end up being put forth to tackles, guards, centers, just that offensive line tag market. And just the unfortunate nature. I mean, you still have to factor in his injury history, just a recent injury history, should I say. And I mean, he's been, like we said, he's been incredibly durable. So, but I just think that knowing executives, there's probably those few that probably will factor that in. If I am Denver, I am using, and I know it's sort of procrastinating at the very last minute, but I am putting together a very hard deadline for Matt Paradis tomorrow, and I am coming to an agreement on a deal. And who knows? I mean, this sports is a tricky thing. Sports really is a tricky thing because we don't know a lot of things. In essence, I mean, the best advice, like I said, is from what I got from Troy Rank, is the NFL's a Kremlin. So we honestly don't know what goes behind closed doors. So in essence, the tag deadline could be used as a contract extension deadline. Sometimes it's been that way in the past. So do the Broncos view this potentially as a deadline for Matt Paradis? We don't know. But yes, Shelby Harris is in line for contract extension. I mean, Domo Tapeko, you could say, is in line for contract extension, even though he's a free agent. And Matt Paradis is in line for contract extension, as well as Chris Harris Jr.
Yeah, and I think more so, I don't think the Broncos are going to use any of the tags this year, to be honest with you. Like I said, the only thing I see happening is maybe Bradley Roby, if they're really keen on keeping a cornerback. I think they're going to work out a deal with some of the other guys. We could see Domo Tapeko be a surprise guy that's not back with the team in 2019. From what I've been told, the way the culture where the Broncos are heading in terms defensively, they got to have a guy that can really solidify the interior in that 3-4 scheme for the Broncos, a really big guy that can eat up maybe two gaps, and I don't know if at his age Domo Tapeko is the right fit for the Broncos. And I hate to say that, he's a very nice guy, great player, did a lot for the Broncos, had a little bit of an off year last season, but that's probably going to be the way that it pans out in the year 2019. Like I said, the franchise tag period begins today. It ends July 15th, 2019. The Broncos have from now until then to determine and designate a franchise tag to a player. Does it happen? I doubt it. But I want to thank you guys once again for joining us for another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast, episode number 400. We couldn't have done it without you guys. We're on to 500. The road to 500 begins tomorrow with episode 401. Like always, Broncos country, stay plugged into the discussion on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL, at Cam Parker NFL, and at Locked On Broncos. We'll see you tomorrow for another brand smacking new edition of the show.